I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
A whole range of options. I mean, we've talked about the nuclear material that exists inside Iran. You could imagine a limited raid, and we have special mission units that can do this to secure those materials and be, you know, in and out in a handful of hours. Then there's obviously, you know, the much increased version of that, which is some version of what occurred in Iraq and Afghanistan, in which the Secretary and the President have ruled out. But obviously, anytime you commit U.S. ground troops on the ground, you significantly complicate the situation, and you increase the chances that you could have, casualties on the ground. I think it's something everybody's watching.
Everybody is watching, because that issue has suddenly been a lightning rod. Carolyn Leavitt of the White House was asked, is the president considering putting U.S. boots on the ground in Iran? I will make it clear to you again where I stand. I am against U.S. boots on the ground in Iran as any invasion force. Now, if they're going in for a limited action, a mission, with or without Israeli troops, I'm not going to be informed in advance. I'll only know the outcome, and hopefully it will be a good one for the U.S. and for our troops we send in. But so far, we've been kind of at a standoff war, to the extent that shooting over the horizon and military jets and things of that nature, not having to put men and women in direct danger. And yet we have had casualties already. 7 confirmed dead by some of the ballistic missiles Iran has fired into various countries around the Middle East, where they know they will find U.S. bases, U.S. families, forces, whatever. But the other issue that comes behind that, when you start talking about, is what about conscription and reinstating the draft? And that question immediately brings on an onslaught of fear and trepidation, and of course a lot of denial that we will never do that again. I don't think we will. I will point out that once Trump became president, our volunteer army military suddenly had a surge in Americans who wanted to serve. They had no intent of serving under a Joe Biden administration, but they saw Trump as a warrior and someone who would really defend America, and they were willing to step up and sign their name and become a member of our U.S. Armed Forces. I thank each and every one of you who've done it. I thank each and every one of you who have served in the past. And for those of you who have lost loved ones, may God continue to bless and comfort your heart. Trump has pointed out that obviously they've lost their Navy, but we're not done. And he has said that we have basically hit every target available in Iran, but we're still continuing, because he does not want to see another Ayatollah regime spring up. And of course, the Ayatollah's son is now the new supreme leader. Protesters in the streets rallying against it. They face gunfire from their own fellow citizens who are in the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, shooting them down. Any regime change, obviously, is going to have to involve the Iranian people. I don't want us to start nation building again. We have been supporting, supposedly, the Kurdish forces and others through the CIA and possibly some other military action that we're not aware of. But simply to invade Iran to turn the regime around, I still stand against that, the casualty rate. And then my guest in the previous hour, in case you missed him, retired Marine Colonel William Bernard Dunn, said he thought Israelis going in, if they tried to invade Iran, it will be a massacre for the Israelis. And they're smart enough not to get into a massacre, but they might also want to conduct limited raids and missions with or without U.S. forces involvement. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA. Here we are, March 11, 2026. As I remind you, we are always streaming video when we're on the air. You can watch the program right now. How do you do it? You go to Newstalk, STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. You go to Larry Connors, USA, Rumble, Facebook. And everything goes up later as a podcast, so you can watch it at that point. Watch or listen. And when you do, please push share. Send it on to others. And today's program, like all of them, you will want to listen to and send to those you love. Because we're going to get into a couple things. One, including JFK's inaugural statement when he became president, and compare him and his visions and his thoughts of that day to the leftist Democrats now running the left party, the leftists, the Democrats. And how far apart they would be today, just as they are if you put them up against the record he had at that point, JFK. And with Larry Connors, USA, you're going to get news, analysis, commentary, and education. For instance, you're going to learn more about our oil reserves, the U.S. and the world oil reserves, and a new decision involving the international world reserves because of what is happening in Iran. That's still to come. Let me take a moment to remind you of the St. Charles County Lincoln Trump dinner. It's coming up Friday, March 20. You still have time to get tickets. It'll be held at the Old Hickory Golf Club in St. Peter's, a VIP reception at 5:30, the dinner and program at 6:30. You can enter a Second Amendment raffle. How do you get all that? Well, you go to stcharlesgop.com for more information or Newstalk STL. Don't wait until the last minute to make sure that you get your ticket and you're included. We've had a lot of success. We've knocked a lot of the, as Trump stated, we have put all of their Navy at the bottom of the water, so they're not going to be affected. We are worried now about mine layers. I'll get to that in a moment. But General Jack King, retired four-star general, says, what we have accomplished is amazing.
Well, it's really quite significant in 10 days what's been accomplished here. And really, what's happening, we've got these two proven, experienced militaries who've come together with shared values, shared interests, and a common objective here, working together in an air campaign that exceeds anything that we have done in decades. And look at, we operated with allies before. They were willing, and some of them didn't have much capability. And some others were willing, but they wanted to be in a non-combat area. They didn't want to be threatened too much. Or they were willing, but we had to provide air support, intelligence, and logistics support from them. Here come the Israelis. They are completely willing, and they have enormous capability themselves, and it's proven capability. They know how to fight, and they want to get into the fight. And we know why this is. They're fighting for their very survival. And they are a proven capable organization. We have a three-star general with a full staff inside the IDF headquarters. They have a one-star general with a full staff inside the CENTCOM headquarters. The communication that goes on is considerable. And the trust and confidence that we have with each other is also quite exceptional in terms of what we have had in the past.
That kind of alliance is strong. And other members around the Mideast have realized that they're also going to be victims of Iran if they get a nuclear weapon. Just last night, the United Arab Emirates had to shoot down several ballistic missiles trying to take them out. Iran is a threat to the entire region and the world. Dealing with them and trying to contain them is what we've been trying to do. We don't just have air superiority over Iran. We basically own the air except for the ballistic missiles. But, of course, we have to still worry about the nuclear stockpile they have and them enriching uranium to build a bomb. And I don't want to give them more time to build it. And we have a new concern, and that is how mines have been placed around the Hormuz Strait. That's a choke point where cargo ships, particularly petroleum ships, would be wanting to move through. And if they strike one of those mines, you have a major explosion. So we're recognizing that and now trying to deal with that issue.
President Donald Trump has warned Iran against laying mines in the Strait of Hormuz and threatened to blow up any ship attempting to do so. The U.S. Central Command says multiple Iranian naval vessels have now been eliminated, including 16 mine layers near Hormuz.
What has happened here is a new maritime front has opened up in this war. Central Command now going after any of the vessels with mine laying capabilities. Unclear at this point exactly how much stockpile of mines that Iran are sitting on. We were speaking to Becca Wasser, our Bloomberg defense lead, and she was saying even before the war started, they were estimated to be sitting on around 5,000 mines. But ultimately, it's not operationally difficult for them to load some of these ships with the mines and with the explosives. So that's going to be one issue to contend with, even though the U.S. are committing to send over special forces to help remove the mines that have already been placed in the strait, assuming that they are there.
Now, in response to all of that today, the 32 members of the International Energy Agency agreed to release 400 million barrels of oil from their emergency reserves. That's the largest coordinated stock release in the 52-year history of the International Energy Agency. They want to basically help cover the near total closure of the Strait of Hormuz right now, trying to get oil into other parts of the world and other nations. There were 182 million barrels released in 2022 after Russia invaded Ukraine. But the announcement today does not really stem the rise in the price of oil, as it appears. Oil prices are going to float up and down as they are. What about our strategic reserves? We do have them. And, of course, our production and our usage is very high. We basically, in our nation, have at last check 415 million barrels. We had almost 700 plus that had been topped off. But when Joe Biden went in, he started sucking it out to buy votes to make folks realize, oh, our gas prices are coming down. We give Joe Biden credit. He was stealing from your future. Our reserves right now, Trump has promised, I will get them back to the top. But a year later, we're still less than 60% full at this point. And our production level is as strong as it is, and yet we're still under what we need if we were pressed. We do not and are not fully energy sufficient as we were under Trump the first term. We use close to 20 million barrels a day. We produce on our own something like 14 to 15 million barrels. We obviously are counting on some imports, and we've been involved in that partly as a trade relation issue to establish relations with other countries. We had four main sites where we were storing them: Bryan Mound, Texas, Big Hill, Texas, West Hackleberry, Louisiana, Bayou Chateau in Louisiana. We want to get the reserves back up, and we need them now. But Biden put us in a difficult situation. Coming up, I want you to hear the sound of surrender. I want you to hear the sound of surrender that Iran really wants to hear again. But before we get to that, our U.S. Ambassador Witkoff says from the beginning in trying to deal with Iran, it was clear that Iran was talking only to stall. They wanted to better prepare to defend and attack.
They opened up with telling us that they had the inalienable right to enrich, to which we responded that from President Trump that we had the inalienable right to stop them from enriching. So But they opened up by challenging us. Their next statement to us was that they had 460 kilograms of 60% enriched uranium. 60% enriched uranium would take a week, maybe 10 days at the outside, to bring up to 90% weapons grade. So it was a clear threat. They were boasting about having it. And they said that that was going to be something that was going to be very valuable. At the same time that they were attesting to wanting nuclear for civil purposes, there is no reason whatsoever to be enriching past 20% unless you're going for a weapon. And then finally, and this was all in the beginning, meeting. They said to us, and this was some challenge, you're not going to get from us diplomatically what you could not achieve militarily. We did achieve militarily, but they were basically saying that we didn't, and they weren't going to give it to us anyway.
No, they weren't going to give us anything. They were thinking, they were hoping, they were praying to Allah that Trump would become a voice of surrender, as they had heard before from Barack Obama.
The United States and Iran are now settling a long-standing Iranian government claim against the United States government. Iran will be returned its own funds, including appropriate interest, but much less than the amount Iran sought. For the United States, this settlement could save us billions of dollars that could have been pursued by Iran, so there was no benefit to the United States in dragging this out.
Oh, no benefit. Don't give them the damn money. That was our benefit. But remember, he shipped overnight cargo plane pallets, $400 million into Iran, various denominations, various currencies, so they could distribute to their terrorist networks throughout the Middle East. And then basically said, we'd probably lose when they take us to world court, so we'll give them the other $1.4 billion. We took that under control when they took over our U.S. embassy. And we were holding it. And they said, well, you have your embassy back now. We want our money back. And Obama was the voice of surrender. We're going to give it to them. They're going to get it anyway, so we won't fight. We'll just let you have it. That's what they want to hear from the Trump administration. They haven't, and they will not. And there was a previous president in the Democrat Party that is a lot closer in his stance of our nation and what we need to do than Obama. That's to come up next. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Previously, I've told you about dustless blasting, a special service offered by Wellington Environmental. It could work for you in your place. Recently, a crew removed a driveway sealer that had failed. The owner wanted to go back to the original concrete so it could be properly sealed. Dustless blasting worked. That homeowner is happy. Now, sometimes surfaces need pressure washing instead of blasting. In fact, there was an exterior stone fireplace cleansed by pressure washing. And when it dried, all the dark stain was gone. That stone had its original appearance. Wellington is versatile with blasting. Dustless blasting or whatever you need. They will evaluate and make a decision. How do you get them to your door? Very easy. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, making your world great. In fact, be safe, be well with Wellington Environmental. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I've been holding it so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the phone. I've been sleeping all alone. I won't kiss you.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We observe today not a victory of party, but a celebration of freedom, symbolizing an end as well as a beginning, signifying renewal as well as change. For I have sworn before you and Almighty God the same solemn oath our forebears prescribed nearly a century and three quarters ago. The world is very different now, for man holds in his mortal hands the power to abolish all forms of human poverty and all forms of human life.
That was JFK at his inauguration, January 20, 1961, pointing out that the torch has passed and we're recognizing what we have achieved and what we must do to keep that torch burning brightly and high for everyone to see. And he was recognizing then the destructive power that existed around the world. And in that case, he's talking about the Soviet Union, not the crazed Middle East and Iranian Ayatollahs trying to come up with a nuclear weapon to not just level the playing field, but destroy everyone else and themselves if they do. They don't care. Do you understand that? The Iranian regime does not care if it destroys its people and itself as long as they destroy you. And we have some, of course, raising the question, would Trump consider bringing back the draft? And the White House spokeswoman Carolyn Leavitt said, all options are on the table, which means the left comes rushing around the table like little puppies. Are we going to see a draft dropped onto the floor? Israel has the draft. Young men and women are drafted. They must serve in their military. They worry about being invaded on a constant basis. We geographically are protected from invasion, from outside forces, but inside forces. Are we prepared and would we be prepared? Back to JFK, and he points out our forebears and how they believed in, dare I say it for the left, God.
And yet the same revolutionary beliefs for which our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe. The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. We dare not forget today that we are the heirs of that first revolution. Let the word go forth from this time and place to friend and foe alike that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans born in this century, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace, proud of our ancient heritage and unwilling to witness or permit the slow undoing of those human rights to which this nation has always been committed and to which we are committed today at home and around the world.
I ask you, how many Democrats would make that proclamation today? In fact, how many would reject it outright? But JFK pointed out, we need to let the world know we as a nation are here to survive and help you at the same time.
Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty. This much we pledge and more. To those old allies whose cultural and spiritual origins we share, we pledge the loyalty of faithful friends. United, there is little we cannot do in a host of cooperative ventures. Divided, there is little we can do, for we dare not meet a powerful challenge at odds and split asunder. To those new states whom we welcome to the ranks of the free, we pledge our word that one form of colonial control shall not have passed away merely to be replaced by a far more iron tyranny. We shall not always expect to find them supporting our view, but we shall always hope to find them strongly supporting their own freedom.
Very clear-eyed in his statement as well, to the nations around the world. This is where the U.S. stands and what we stand for. And you can be with us, or maybe even against us, but you must realize what we're trying to achieve and what we're basing it on is for the greater good, for the world. And Democrats at that time applauded. And I remember when JFK was running and the words were going around about, you know, he's Catholic. If he's elected, we'll be ruled by the Vatican and the Pope. And that did turn many votes away from him. But in his inauguration speech, was that not a speech of unification compared to what we got from Obama and Biden? I would say JFK and Donald Trump are closer together in their view of the world and our nation and our reliance on our history and God than any other president. And you can add Reagan into that list. But Obama and Biden and the leftists wanted to wreck this nation, and they damn well came close to it. And if they get to win the midterm election and shut down everything Trump's trying to do because he can get nothing through Congress, they will win more. JFK talked about the destiny of our nation.
In your hands, my fellow citizens, more than mine, will rest the final success or failure of our course. Since this country was founded, each generation of Americans has been summoned to give testimony to its national loyalty. The graves of young Americans who answered the call to service surround the globe. Now the trumpet summons us again, not as a call to bear arms, though arms we need, not as a call to battle, though in battle we are, but a call to bear the burden of a long twilight struggle, year in and year out, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, a struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease and war itself.
And war itself. And we were just coming out of the Vietnam War, obviously, at that point, had been out of it. He reminded all Americans of the essential question.
In the long history of the world, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. I do not shrink from this responsibility. I welcome it. I do not believe that any of us would exchange places with any other people or any other generation. The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
And to that extent, for those who did not want to take part in military activities, they created the Peace Corps. Established 1961, sending American volunteers to countries around the world. Normally, their service would be 27 months. Had to be at least a U.S. citizen to begin with, 18 or older. They could or could not have a degree. They may or may not get stipends and additional money. But they were serving their country. And I think that's something we have lost. I think everyone at some point should serve their country in some capacity. In Israel, young men and women are constricted into military activity and duty. We're not doing that, and I do not want to see us go back to it. The Peace Corps, by the way, is still active. 250,000 Americans have served in over 140 countries.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Now more than ever, we need to fund the Department of Homeland Security. And when you talk about the TSA agents, I live this, and you and I talked about it with our air traffic controllers in the last Democrat shutdown. But the fact that you have TSA agents, they don't make a lot of money, Stuart. They can't go without, you know, multiple paychecks and think they can pay their mortgage, pay their rent, put food on the table. And so they make different choices to just care for their families. It's unacceptable. Chuck Schumer has to get off the political bandwagon and start being on the American bandwagon and funding the Department of Homeland Security. It's outrageous, actually. And everyone who stands in that line, they should all call or email Chuck Schumer's office.
That is Sean Duffy, our transportation secretary. And he's right on target. We already have a concern about safety on our airlines, obviously, ever since 9/11. That's why we have the TSA on duty. And they're still there, some of them, still trying to show up and do the job, even though they're not being paid because of the government shutdown by the Democrats. This is an essential agency which we need to keep open. But the money is not being approved to be paid out at this point. Chuck Schumer and the Democrats are blocking it. And they were trying to hang everything around the neck of, you got to reform ICE before you get another dime from us. And by reforming ICE, they're talking about basically gutting it, not allowing it to do its job. They want restrictions put in that the ICE agents would not be allowed to go into schools, into churches, even be around a polling place. Now, you may or may not agree with some of those. But I ask you this. Do you plan on doing any flying this summer, any family or relatives? Do you want them in danger on a plane because there were not enough TSA agents to properly check, and for some of them that are working are overworked and tired, and something slips by? A terrorist only has to get it right once. They have to be right every time. And that's why we now have massive delays at the airports. And you're being told you might well have to show up 4 hours before your flight. And that means to get in line to be checked by TSA. And, of course, some airlines are just shutting down operations. They cannot continue the flights under those situations. And when you get one flight delayed, it's a cascading dominoes. Another's delayed and another. And we're not even talking about stormy weather, which we're also in the midst at this point. Sean Duffy is doing and has been doing everything he can to make our transportation industry safer. Not just on the airlines, but let me veer away from that for a moment to tell you about what he's doing on our roadways. He has the Roadway Safety Act in place, safe roads. All 50 states, D.C. and Puerto Rico, traveling or targeting 4,300 high-traffic dangerous routes and intersections to be improved by the end of fiscal year 2026. The Commercial Vehicle Safety Operation, Operation Safe Drive, covering 26 states, D.C., removing nearly already 2,000 unqualified commercial drivers and vehicles. Many of them are illegal. They cannot read English. They cannot even recognize the road signs. And they're driving beside you in 18-wheelers, you and your family. What kind of disaster and catastrophe has to happen on a roadway before even those on the left recognize, oh, we've got to get back to recognizing illegals cannot simply be given a driver's license? You know why only 26 states are involved in doing this now? Because they're against illegal immigration. The others are blue city sanctuary states, or lean so far that way that they're letting it happen. But then again, getting back to aviation safety, in conjunction with the FAA, Duffy has implemented a massive reorganization, a new safety oversight office, an advanced aviation technology integration for drones. And they've obviously done a lot of extensive looking at what happened at Reagan International Airport when a commercial airliner collides with a military helicopter. I've seen a video that they put together as a reenactment of how it went down and how hard it is. And I know as a pilot, you're flying at night, it's very hard to make up lights on the ground versus something that might be on the air, because at a distance, it seems to be on your same level. You're not sure. And if you're coming into an airport, it becomes even more uncertain. Are those lights from the ground, or are they another craft in the air at my level, ascending or descending? And of course, the very fact that we were allowing military aircraft to cross over Reagan International Airport without their transponders on to identify them, make sure they were clearly noted and spotted, and the fact that apparently we only had one air traffic controller on board. But you get back to just the basic safety of, can you get on a flight this summer, you or members of your family, get where you want to go safely without being hijacked, much less a tragic accident? I told you yesterday, in case you missed it, shame on you for missing yesterday's program, but I know you can't listen all the time. That's why we put everything up as a podcast. You go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and you can pick up every one of them, our News Talk STL, both the audio and video. At LarryConnorsUSA.com, you can subscribe. We will send it directly to your email every day, so it will be there when you have time to sit and listen. But the issue I was pointing out yesterday, a flight had to be diverted, a Southwest flight. Now, I never did get a chance to go back and check where it originated and where it was headed, but it got diverted to Atlanta because one of the passengers had on his cell phone the call to prayer, the Muslim call to prayer. And on that hour, he was supposed to be in prayer, and his phone went off to remind him. And it sounded like the call you hear across the Mideast at the time of prayer. And many passengers got frightened, and they sent word to the crew, and the crew was a little frightened. Is this a preclude of something that's going to happen on board? So they diverted to Atlanta. And when they landed, federal officers along with police came on board, told everyone, remain seated. Raise your hands above your seat and keep your hands in full sight. We will move through the aisles and clear you aisle by aisle. Turned out there was no threat, but we're at a precipice, I should say, at a dangerous time and a very delicate time when it comes to safety. Anything could be a threat. So you can understand why they thought we need to find out what's going on here. There was another video I saw the other day of one airliner where a man gets out his prayer blanket, puts it down in the floor and starts praying while he's on the flight. Now, again, this is alarming to passengers who fear that, is this a final prayer before he commits jihad? Again, this was a Muslim simply obeying his rule of prayer, but it still frightens others. I would make it akin to something very similar to this. You have a right to carry. But just because you do, even if it's to open carry, I don't like that idea because it frightens other people. We already have some of them complaining they're frightened when police come in to a restaurant because they have guns. Well, they should have the guns, and you should expect them to have it. But if you see me walking in and you see a pistol that I'm carrying clearly in my hand or on my belt, that would frighten people, understandably. Why do that? You're initiating cause of panic, maybe taking emergency and rescue personnel from an area where they might really be needed. But as Sean Duffy is saying, unless Chuck Schumer and his crew decide to accept the fact that you're not going to see us wilt in front of your current stand down and strike against the American people, we're going to continue to do business the best we can. And the American people will suffer. And the TSA workers will suffer. And others. I pray we do not have to have a tragedy in the air, especially a hijacking event that rings it so loud and clear that even Chuck Schumer has to back away and hide in the shadows. The other thing Duffy is pointing out, we need to make sure in our nation that we're at the top of the chain when it comes to building new technology.
We are in a race, right? Everyone is trying to have the best technology that will be deployed around the world. And I want the technology to be developed in America. I want the jobs in America. And I want the rest of the world to use American technology. I don't want to see a foreign competitor / foreign adversary / communist party beat America and have their technology deployed around the world. This is a national security issue. This is an economic issue. This is a safety issue.
A big safety issue. The Federal Commission's chairman, Federal Communications Commission chairman Carr, was speaking the other day about how the legacy media continues to fight against our nation, and their record cannot be ignored.
The legacy media in particular, unlike local, is just wildly out of touch with where the American people are. You can see example after example. So Super Bowl Sunday, people are gearing up for the big game. They're all excited about it. Washington Post out with a story that says the most important person to the Super Bowl, the most recent Super Bowl, was Colin Kaepernick. Right? Something that no actual human being in America would reach that conclusion. And so just drastically out of touch. You see, you know, after the U.S. men's hockey team wins a historic gold medal, you see ABC journalists saying that the U.S. men's hockey team really missed the cultural moment because they spent time with the president of the United States.
They want more dissent. They want anger. They want us to fight against each other. There's no unification inside the Democrat Party, certainly not between themselves inside their ranks. And they're causing more division with the rest of America. And they got too many lackeys going along behind them. And if we're not careful and get the SAVE Act in place to protect the integrity of our elections, we will suffer. They want us to suffer. I want to see us thrive and become stronger. And actually, so do some on the left. Case in point. The founder of, or rather a former CEO of Starbucks, Howard Schultz, just decided to move to Republican-run Florida. Forbes magazine points out this. Following a 24-hour debate, the Washington State House passed Senate Bill 6346, a tax on people earning more than $1 million per year, the vote 51-46. It would apply beginning in 2028, first payments due in 2029. And the Forbes article continues. However, the fallout has already started with the Starbucks founder, Howard Schultz, announcing, "I'm moving to Florida." A move that comes shortly after the bill advanced in the legislature. Part of Schultz's announcement, 44 years ago, Sherry and I made the cross-country trip from New York City to Seattle in our 1979 Audi, along with Jonas, our golden retriever. We were starting a new life. The spirit of continuing forward has long underpinned our approach to life in business, in philanthropy, and more importantly, as family. And for those of you who know us, we have entered the retirement phase of our lives. And then he added, and we have moved to Miami for our next adventure together. What about the damage caused by the leftists? Schultz recognizes if we stand there, they're going to rob us and take more from us than is fair after we worked so hard for it. Oh, and Starbucks is now opening a new corporate office. Not in Washington State. They're opening it in Tennessee. It doesn't mean the whole leftist corporation is going to move out of Seattle, at least not yet. But opening it in Tennessee suggests we need to get our house in order. Now, the key is, as pointed out by Nick Nolte of Breitbart, Democrats like Howard Schultz could be considered political locusts. They leave one place and destroy everything where they go, dragging their fascist politics behind them. That's the key. Move to a better place, but don't bring your baggage of blue. We don't want it. And you don't want to recreate what you just escaped. As always, thank you for listening. Spread the word. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.